Welcome back to WTRN Sports Center, your home for all things sports. Today, we're talking about sports. The season for science has started, and we've set up our October Madness bracket, and we're going to plan through how we think this season's going to go. Annalie?
And let me tell you, it is a lovely day. You can see our contestants lining up, looking pretty spiffy, getting really excited, getting jazzed. Hey, talk through what we're going to be seeing in this sports bracket today.
Absolutely, Annalie. So, we've had four different regions of feral scientists in this tournament, and we've narrowed it down to about 16, and we have them all paired up, and we're going to start the first round right here and now. Of course, as every year, we're going to be focusing on three aspects in this bracket. Obviously, basketball ability. Next, science. Third, how much do we want to fuck them? And by we mean Diggs.
Annalie is canonically ace. But you know, here's the thing. This has been a long season. This has been a brutal season. Let's talk about some of the contestants that didn't make the cut this year.
I thought for sure we'd see a Dr. Horrible up in here, but he didn't make the cut.
Oh man, and that was a brutal loss. And let me say, Dr. Manhattan yeeted off to Mars, and unfortunately, he will not be taking home his third championship this year.
He had to drop out this year. Something about fairness?
Something about that. Other honorable mentions are Jonathan Jacobo, Ginkgo from Mushi, whoever the hell that is, Carlos the Scientist.
He mysteriously vanished.
We've got Dr. Bunsen.
We would have loved to have seen a return from Dr. Bunsen this season, but given how busy he was filming Muppet's Haunted Mansion, we couldn't get him even in the playoffs.
But it has been a brutal cut. But let's introduce our lovely contestants.
In our northern region, we have Hannibal Lecter, Harlene Quinzel, Victor Frankenstein, and Frank N. Furter.
In our western region, we've got Henry Wu, Dr. Moreau, Stanford Pines, and Nathan Wallace.
In our eastern region, we have Doc Ock from Into the Spider-Verse, Entrapta, Herbert West, and Heinz Doofenshmirtz.
And let's not forget our southern region, where we've got GLaDOS, Poison Ivy, Henry Jekyll, and Frankenstein.
We should start in the north.
Alrighty, sounds pretty good.
First on deck is going to be Hannibal Lecter versus Harlene Quinn, both psychiatrists.
Alrighty, hello listeners, here's just a side note.
Hey guys, we're going to stop doing sportscaster voices now.
So we decided to stack up all of the various, you know,
feral, unethical scientists.
Exactly. And make them fight head to head. We've decided that they're all very sexy. They're all very dubious when it comes to morality. And they're all ready, rearing to go.
I'm going
to
give two notes before we begin this. Everything we say on this show is only in reference to fictional scientists. Unethical science in real life is not good.
As somebody who studied scientific ethics in college, it can get really dubious and really bad.
It's not good out there. And then the second thing is, this has never been a family show. This one's not going to be a family show at all. If you're going to show an episode to like your family or whatever, this isn't the one, because I'm going to say some things about these scientists, guys. Like, listen, it's going to get bad. I'm real horned up about this, guys. I'm gonna fuck like everyone on this list except maybe like three of them.
I'm also going to be talking about getting horned up about these scientists. I'm a canonically asexual person, so it's all in good fun. It's all in goofs. It's all to keep the spirit up.
Annalie is, of course, talking about like fucking piloting my body.
Out of scientific curiosity, of course. Want to kick this goddamn thing off? Oh, once again, our parameters we've decided are basketball.
Because it's an October Madness bracket.
Just like sciencey science, which means like we've gotten the recommendation of, can they keep a plant alive? Can they actually destroy the world? Like, how dangerous is their science?
Do they peer review their work?
How thorough is their research? So all of that is going to fall into the science category. And then the third one is going to be fuckability. How much we like the characters, how hot they are, how cool they are, how like excited they get. at us.
Yeah.
All right. So kicking this off, we've got Hannibal Lecter and Harlene Quinzel. Hannibal Lecter, of course, is going to be from Silence of the Lambs franchise, Hannibal the TV. We're specifically doing literary Hannibal, but it extends all throughout canon. And then Harlene Quinzel, who becomes Harley Quinn in the DC universe. All right.
So just kicking things off, Harley is at a little bit of a disadvantage here because she gets sidetracked. I will say that. She gets thrown off course. So when she comes back, it's going to be with a vengeance, but it's going to be several years out from school.
That's very fair. The thing is, Hannibal Lecter also kind of wants to fuck one of his patients, is the thing.
He super does.
So Harlene Quinzel's got like a definitely like a wants to fuck a patient on her record, which
sure does.
So does Hannibal Lecter. Canonically. And you know what? She tries to help the Joker all the way up through the end. And even I would argue when she becomes Harley Quinn is still trying in her way to help the Joker. Whereas Hannibal Lecter is 100% not trying to help.
No, he's trying to make him worse.
Everybody worse all the time.
Now, definitely on a basketball court, I will say Harley has the advantage here.
Absolutely!
She is the more athletic, the more, like, she also probably knows the rules of basketball.
And the Hannibal Lecter knows them in theory, as in he read about them one time in a book.
He has a bunch of money, and he would take someone to a game as a flaunt. He doesn't fucking know.
Right. You know how certain, like, really smart people have gaps in their knowledge? This is the Hannibal gap. He doesn't know fuck all about sports, unless it's, like, fucking water polo.
Or croquet.
I'm surprised that Harley Quinn survives most of the encounters that she has, but the girl is durable, and she's got hella gymnastics.
Which, in this 1v1 basketball, I assume, like, Harlem Globetrotter rules are applied. Everyone can just kind of do whatever it takes to win basketball.
Oh, of course.
Now, on the fuckability scale, on the how much I like these characters, I am very biased. I have not engaged a lot with the Harley Quinn canon. I get a lot of it from you, and so all of my opinions of Harley are very positive. I just haven't experienced her personally. Now, as someone who suffers from Hannibal's very appealing.
No, and that's fair. The thing is, my issue with Harley is she's sometimes sexualized in a way that is very, like, straight male gaze. She's done right a few times, and I'm gonna say, like, in the Harley Quinn animated series, she has done so right and is canonically a lesbian, and I love her so much. But I'm gonna say that, like, Hannibal is also very femme-coded, so I would have to go with Hannibal.
He's a girl boss.
Yeah, so I'm gonna have to say that out of the two of them, fortunately, Hannibal Lecter is my more. And here's the thing, I'm playing down how much I love this man.
We know.
Because one of us has to speak for Harlene, you know?
Here's the thing, though. If this were just basketball, she would eat him.
Yep, yep.
She would blast this man.
Yep, I know.
I was gonna say he would leave crying. He would not leave the court.
I know.
She would obliterate him. She would decapitate him and use his head to shoot three-pointers.
I know. But alas, there's two other categories. Exactly. She's really good at psychiatry. However, that's kind of where her expertise concentrates. And he's like, I'm also a chef and also an artist and also a this. She's a little bit more rough and tumble off the streets. I think that she's out of her depth in a way that he's not.
Our first pick for Northern Division is going to be Hannibal Lecter.
Let's go to the East.
In the East, we have Doc Ock, specifically from Into the Spider-Verse, because we love women.
Yeah.
And Trapped Up. I'm gonna have to start this with some. Both of these ladies here occupy a lot of my thoughts.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. I know.
I went to see Into the Spider-Verse with my mother.
Oh!
And afterwards, she was like, how was the movie? And I was like, good. See, like, so Entrapta is, like, one of my favorite characters, period. But I was watching, like, season 5 with her arc with Hordak, her, like, introspective arc, and my dad came down because I was making too much noise at, like, 3 a.m., and I'm fully, like, crying, sitting on the kitchen counter. He's like, what's wrong? I'm like, entrapped! And then she, like, you know, did something dumb and moved her hair, and he's like, I'm going to bed, please be quiet.
No, Entrapta is, like, a very special kind of, like, manic, excitable, and specifically in feminine scientist characters, I so rarely see this. Like, I find, like, apathetic scientists to be significantly less interesting than, like, people who just geek out, because having, like, worked with a lot of scientists, they're all fucking geeks first, you know?
She has a lot of specifically, like, autistic coding and, like, other, like, neurodivergencies, and it's really nice to see it represented as, like, this is a thing that's very helpful to her. And, like, you know, while there's obviously, like, all of the princesses have a little, like, rub with each other, like, it's nice to see that it's all good. Entrapta is so, like, she gets it.
Entrapta hits a place that is so specific. Don't get me wrong, Doc Ock, when I saw her, my jaw dropped.
Oh.
Doc Ock will never be mundane to me. But also, I just, like, Entrapta is so special, like, in a way that, you know. Also, listen, this isn't about how much we like them. It kind of is, but it's also about, you know.
Let's talk basketball.
Basketball?
What are the chances Entrapta knows how to play basketball?
I was gonna say 100%. Unfortunately, Doc Ock's gonna slap her.
Doc Ock knows. And here's the thing, they're evenly paired as far as ability here.
Of course.
They got the hair, they got the tense, they got, like, the actual, like, physical ability. Look, they're fairly paired. Doc Ock knows how to play basketball.
Doc Ock knows how to play basketball. She would absolutely spank Entrapta in basketball.
Entrapta would be too interested by, like, the actual basketball court itself and all of its, like, stands and mechanisms and, like, whatever. Doc Ock could just stand on the court and, like, dunk over and over.
Doc Ock's got that fucking killer instinct of, do you know how painful that would be, Peter Parker? And I can't wait to watch. And I'm like,
And, like, she could keep dunking while, like, talking to Entrapta, and they would have a great time.
Right? That's the thing. I feel like neither of them would take it personally.
No, Entrapta does not give a shit about this bracket.
I think that they would honestly be friends. And, like, isn't that a win for a female friendship? Especially with Entrapta's tendency to befriend villains.
Yes.
Here's the thing. Unfortunately, fuckability, also Doc Ock's gonna win that one for me.
Doc Ock is so fuckable.
Yeah, Doc Ock's like a specific kind of...
Oh my... Yeah, so, but here's the thing. As far as science goes, also Doc Ock.
Yeah, I know.
She's got a lab. She's got peer review. She does it the right way. She applies for grants. She gets funding.
I know.
In a head-to-head competition of just build a thing, I think Entrapta has a fair shot because, like, she's a little less precious about what she's doing. And I think in, like, MacGyver quick think competition, she would sweep the floor, honestly, with Doc Ock. But if we're talking about professionalism and fuckability and basketball...
Doc Ock, which, again, is unfortunate because, listen, I cannot stress how much my preferred character between these two is Entrapta. But we gotta keep it. We gotta keep it kosher. We decided.
We are being so impersonal right now. Oh my God.
So impersonal right now. If anybody, like, cares about these kinds of characters, check out Entrapta's deal. She hits a space that is unique to any other character that I've seen. Again, you rarely see women represented in this way. I highly recommend checking out just all of She-Ra, but, like...
She's allowed to fully be enthusiastic and fully make mistakes and fully be, like, quote unquote, too much. It's that thing where it's like, when men are exuberant, it gets praised, and when women are, it's like, oh, she's annoying, right? And she is allowed to be, like, obviously, like, there's some, like, friction with the princesses, but never in a way that is specific, and never in a way that is, always in a way that's, like, all of the princesses, like, have to get used to each other, and in the end, they all love each other and love her for her, and she...
It never makes her a bad character. It's always, like, this is an asset, and, like, learn to love it, assholes, you know?
And, like, and it's like, hey, you guys didn't love her, you are now being punished because she is against you now.
Yep, exactly!
Like, she found people who are gonna appreciate her, and you're gonna fucking regret it.
Oh, I love her so much. Again, unfortunately, Doc Ock's gotta keep going, but I love Entrapta.
Doc Ock gets it.
To the south!
have Frankenstein from Soul Eater, and one Dr. Esquire MD MRS Coach Henry Jekyll.
All right, so let me just real quick say Frankenstein is from specifically Soul Eater, and Henry Jekyll is from the original A Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
I will say this so Annalie doesn't have to. She is very invested in one Henry Jekyll's person and success and
his furthered career. I need him to be loved.
Okay, let's start with basketball. Fortunately here, they're at least not crazily matched because they're both extremely tall gentlemen and both like decent, like Henry Jekyll is decently capable, right? This is not the squirrely little scientist man he's made out to be, right? Like he is actually a functional man here. However,
Frankenstein
is a trained fighter and canonically watches basketball.
Yeah, he canonically watches basketball. He's canonically like so OP that nobody can handle him until he goes off the deep end.
I will say though, he canonically doesn't care.
That's true. That is true.
I can't see him taking this basketball game very seriously.
No.
Like, I could see the first half of the game, him really just flexing and giving Jekyll, like, a run for his money as far as athleticism goes. But then, like, second half, I feel like he would be more interested in seeing how Jekyll's gonna play the game, beat him up until the fourth quarter, and then just see what he does.
I know. Here's the thing. I feel like at halftime, Hyde's gonna come out, and he's gonna be younger, faster, and more exciting to Stein, which I feel like would absolutely renew his interest, and he'd be like, I gotta dissect you.
They're gonna kiss.
And so they're gonna kiss.
They're gonna kiss at the middle of the court.
Yeah, there's just absolutely no way that this average man who just got caught up in some wacky science, like, could be Professor Stein from Soul Eater.
He would crack open the Gatorade and drink that potion and become Hyde, and Stein would be like, oh.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, we're having fun now.
Right. Think about when Medusa and Stein fought, and it was 100% just like, I'm going to dissect you now. Like, the very excited, like, a very excited thing. I know. So, unfortunately, Stein is gonna win in the basketball department. Let's talk science.
Henry Jekyll cleans the floor with Stein.
Here's the thing. At the end of the day, the only reason why Henry Jekyll's experiment worked was because there was a fuck up in the, like, ingredients gathering department. But at the end of the day, he is a meticulous note taker. He is a double blind case study kind of bitch. He absolutely has won, like, you are the best at science awards. He is, like, has multiple degrees. He is hardcore in what he do. He's a fucking lawyer also. And you know what? Want to know what Frankenstein from Soul Eater does? He fights well.
And he does, like, anatomy pranks.
Yeah, he's a scientist in a way that I am a scientist. In that, like, people will come up at the Franklin Institute and be like, are you a scientist? And I'll say, like, I'm a science communicator. I am not, like, I don't do the actual damn thing. He likes science a lot, and his whole deal is science, and I get that. That's great, Stein, or whatever. But here's the thing, at the end of the day, you're hardly a scientist. Where'd you get your degree?
I will say two things about Stein. The first is, if you can't do teach, and what does Stein do but teach? And the second thing I will say is he is significantly more of a doctor than, like, a quote-unquote scientist. Like, obviously, like, doctors are scientists, like, whatever. Or rather, they do science, they work in the scientific field. But as far as, like, the actual, like, experimentation science, that is not what physician-type doctors do. He excels in specifically battlefield medicine, surgery, like, all of that type of stuff. And that is where his expertise really, really showed. And so, like, when you're doing science in, like, its raw, pure definition of seeking an answer to a question,
yep,
by, like, tests and discovery, Jekyll wins that. But if we're talking about, quote-unquote, Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Stein, in the sense of doctor, like, that's where Stein excels. But when we're talking just raw, raw, raw science, I think Jekyll takes that. He would be like, I'd love love to see what your skin looks. And Jekyll's like, compared to two other people's, and then replicated again. And Stein would be like, sorry, what? I have an exotic bird.
Again, I cannot downplay how much Frankenstein from Soul Eater is probably my favorite character in all of anime.
He was my first cosplay at a con.
He's something completely unique. I love him. I'll do Soul Eater rewatches where only I watch episodes with him in it.
Oh, straight up. That's been every one of my Soul Eater rewatches was either for Stein or when I cosplayed Black Star.
I love him so much!
Even then, I also watched all the Stein episodes.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, we have to talk about fuckability.
Fuckability, okay. Let's talk.
I am biased for specific reasons in that personally, and by personally I mean professionally, I think Stein is very, very sexy and I like him a lot and he do have all of the things. But in a business sense and an academic sense, Jekyll can and does get it. It should be noted, I do have Annalise saved in my phone as Henry Jekyll. And so whenever we text about Henry Jekyll, it like pops up with her contact of like, do you want to at Annalise? I'm like, no.
No.
Because it tries sometimes to change it to, like, you. And I'm like, no!
No!
No, 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 no. Look, it is that kind of friendship, but not right now.
Yeah, that's the thing. Listen, pure canon Henry Jekyll. Listen, I have a lot imposed onto Henry Jekyll, but unfortunately, Stein is sexier.
Yeah.
Stein canonic.
Sorry.
Don't get me wrong. Hyde will always be something special. But also, even at the end of the day, Henry Jekyll is canonically, like, 45. So, like, Stein is just, like, they have a shirtless scene with him. He's really hot. He's, like, anime hot, which is unfortunate.
And he's also, like, mentor figure hot, as well as capable hot.
Mm-hmm.
Just live in, like, the Iroh, like, Dumbledore world of, like, mentor, where he's kind of, like, above it all. He's active. Like, when you watch RuPaul's Drag Race, every time RuPaul is just like, oh, like, you didn't do X, Y, and Z. It's like, yeah, fuck you, RuPaul. Like, let's see you get on stage and death drop. Stein could!
I know. Unfortunately, Frankenstein is gonna have to win this one. And don't get me wrong, this is gutting me.
Also don't like this.
I know. But here's the thing, I paired them deliberately because I can't have Jekyll exist for too long without reaching a critical mass of Jekyll.
Without this, just this whole thing ending up as a Frankenstein v. Jekyll, like, deathmatch.
Yep. I deliberately put probably my two favorite characters on this entire roster next to each other because I needed one of them to die.
Jekyll would lose courteously. I think he's gonna happily now sit in the stands for the literature region.
Also, though, I just want to, again, be clear, be explicitly clear. He's smarter than almost anybody on this roster.
Bar maybe one, because she do be a computer.
She do be a computer, that is true. But, like, he's damn capable, he's damn great, and I gotta bow out gracefully, but I know that he's very important.
He flat out is the most capable, like, human person here. Just not at basketball.
Just not at basketball! And listen, again, unfortunately, Stein is an anime sexy, sexy man.
And he unfortunately canonically watches.
And he canonically watches
basketball. I cannot stress this enough. He knows the rules of basketball.
Also, again, cut this out of the podcast if you want to, or keep it in. It doesn't matter. Stein awakens something in me, so that's something.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, my God. The fucking homecoming episode with him and Medusa changed my fucking life.
I don't want to listen to anything ever again. He makes me sweat. So I'm okay with him. I'm okay with Frankenstein moving to the best.
Next, we go to the West. Interesting pair up for the startouts, where we have Stanford Pines from Gravity Falls and Nathan Wallace from Repo the Genetic Opera.
Yeah, they've both got bad dad energy, but otherwise, they're an interesting combo.
They're also both sign away your soul contract people.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
That's all I've been thinking about. Let's start with basketball.
I think Nathan Wallace would have to win.
I think so too. He's definitely more physically capable. However,
I was gonna say, you saw Stanford Pines. Remember when he, like, magnet slings down that rope? That's something special.
Yeah. My question here, though, falls back to the same question we asked for the rest of these. Does he fucking know how to play basketball?
Does Nathan Wallace know how to play basketball?
I would argue that Nathan Wallace has a bigger chance because he's more heterosexual.
That is very fair.
Stanford Pines, I think if we were talking just about straight up throwing a football accurately or hitting a base, just like the actual technique, even like shooting a basketball, I think he would take like the ups here in that. I feel like technically he would be better, but if you were to just say like game, set, match, go, I think Nathan Wallace would actually know like dribble, dribble, dribble,
yeah,
shoot.
Yeah, that's very fair.
Whereas Stanford might need a second to be like, oh, we're playing basketball.
We're also assuming that Stanford Pines right now is not possessed by Bill Cipher right now. Okay.
Yes. We're assuming he is himself.
Cool.
And we're also assuming Nathan Wallace isn't like full repo man mode either, because that would also be like,
Just two men hanging out. I think you're right. Nathan Wallace wins in basketball.
Just two, like, older guys just playing some basketball. I think Nathan would win. Do you think he's taller?
Is Nathan Wallace tall? How tall is he again?
Nathan Wallace is canonically 6'6". Yeah. All right, so he can dunk on him. He's
too
so
damn tall.
He stands at 6'6", head and shoulders. Pray he never comes knocking at your door.
Damn.
Science.
I'm gonna have to say Stanford Pines.
Nathan Wallace doesn't fucking do science.
Yeah, he's like canonically a doctor, canonically knows anatomy really, really well. Stanford Pines is doing the Swiss Army knife of science, and that sometimes it's portals, sometimes it's chemistry, sometimes it's anatomy. And he keeps detailed notes. He's got fucking 3-ass journals, and that's just on Gravity Falls, so we're good.
And you know he knows what he's talking about because he's also able to teach what he talks about to Dipper.
Yeah. Again, I believe that once you can communicate to somebody what you know, that's how you've actually mastered it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And he clearly able to do that. He was able to pass on the knowledge.
All right. Fuckability.
Okay. This is tricky. I'm trying to separate my feelings for Anthony Stewart Head out from just like Nathan Wallace. Hey, both Stanford and Stanley do be fucking hot.
That's the thing. I'm gonna have to say Stanford Pines for me does it a little bit harder than Nathan Wallace. I don't know why.
Nathan's not. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's fucking hot. Like, he is hot.
Of course.
He's not even the hottest person in Repo, though.
I know.
And, like, I'm saying this as someone who, like, head over heels for Anthony Stewart Head. Ooh, baby, you could even be dressed as Uther Pendragon and I would still be down.
Like, of course.
Stanford
hits different, and I don't know how to say it.
And that's 2 for 3, baby.
That's 2 for 3. Oh, man. Nathan Wallace. Again, do not want to downplay how great Nathan Wallace is.
The good die young.
I think part of it is that he's in such a sexy movie that, like, he can't.
Everything is so sexed up, and he's one of the more earnest characters.
Yeah. All right, Stan. Stanford Pines.
North with Victor Frankenstein and Frank N. Furter.
All right, get fucking ready.
As we did with Henry Jekyll, we'll fess up here. Obviously, I have no bias.
Yeah, Diggs has a very clear vested personal interest in Victor Frankenstein. There's like a little piece of Diggs's soul that is frayed at the end, and whoever, you know, stitched him together tied him to Victor Frankenstein. So unfortunately, we're gonna have to put our loves aside.
Put all of it aside.
Yeah, you can Victor Frankenstein.
I've played Victor Frankenstein.
You played Victor Frankenstein. We're gonna have to also, again, keep this to the novel Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And then Frankenfurter, obviously, from Rocky Horror.
Purely basketball, I think we have to give it to Frankenfurter.
I think we're gonna have to give it to Frankenfurter.
If he can run around that whole movie in fucking pumps, he can play basketball. I don't think Victor Frankenstein could lift a bowling ball.
Oh, I know. Unfortunately, he's such a little mousy man.
I will give him the endurance points here of, like, he does the whole Arctic trek.
He's no fool.
If this were, like, track and field.
Oh my god.
He might have Frankenfurter beat.
Especially because, like, I feel like he's more athletic and Frankenfurter wouldn't trouble himself with such things, you know?
But if it was just, like, okay, 1v1 basketball, Frankenfurter would be like, bet. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm you with lipstick.
Exactly.
I can do what you do in heels.
There's something very physical about what Frankenfurter does. Like, I've seen him run up and down those fucking ramps in Rocky Horror.
Yeah, wise up, Janet Weiss. He's got him beat at basketball.
Science.
Science. Both of their things work. Frankenstein wrote it down.
That is true. That is true.
Frankenstein wrote it down and he did it alone, which isn't great for scientific method, but is good for skill.
I would say that Frankenfurter had his whole scientific process pre-canon and then invited everybody on the day of for like witnesses and such.
He had people there. He did get it reviewed.
He had peer review. And remember how in Time Warp, how everybody's like shaking his hand and congratulating him. Clearly he's a big fucking deal. He's not a rando in his basement.
He has a scientific rival, which is also important.
I would say, though, not for nothing, Victor Frankenstein was operating, you know, in the 1800s, and Frankenfurter has alien technology.
Yes, he is fully an alien.
It wasn't like I created life and that's huge as much as Victor Frankenstein, who's bound by the laws of us. He was just like, I gotta make a fuckable guy.
And also, Frankenfurter fully exists in a post-Frankenstein world.
Yeah.
I would put money on, even though like it doesn't exist in canon, the fact that his name in the world of Rocky Horror, not like obviously in our world his name is a play on Frankenstein, but I would argue even in world his name is a play on Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
Though I will say they are evenly matched in that neither has a doctorate of any sort.
That's so true. That is so true.
They both get called Dr. Frankenstein and Dr. Frankenfurter, and that...
Yeah, they get called doctor because it makes them horny.
Because it makes me horny.
Speaking of which, so third category.
Well, hold on, we have to decide science. I want to say simply because Victor's was replicable.
Yeah.
If he hadn't destroyed the bride, she would have woken up. Like, it works and the journal works.
I also think that just as far as, like, leaps in science, going from 1800 science to creating new life is a little bit bigger than Frankenfurter, who has alien technology, like has the transducer that will seduce you, and then going to bringing a life back is like, that's fine, but they can travel through space, so it's a little bit less of a leap.
So I would say science-wise, Victor wins.
Frankenstein. Now, fuckability.
I'm gonna say something extremely controversial. Here's the thing. This is not a bias thing. I swear to God it's not. I have never found Frankenfurter that sexy.
That's all well and good. Unfortunately for me. Listen, Victor Frankenstein is great. I love him as a character. I find him really cool in a lot of ways. But Frankenfurter is sexy.
He canonically fucks.
Yeah.
He canonically is so sexy and fucks so right.
Like, I think that few people are sexy with a capital S, and unfortunately Frankenfurter, Tim Curry's Frankenfurter is one of them.
That's the thing, is like, he definitely is, he just doesn't work on me, but like, canonically and literally, he is the end-all be-all of sex appeal.
He's just, I don't know, it's just something about him. I think it's the theatricality. And if we're judging by, you know, Victor Frankenstein, again, in this purely literary sense, he don't get a lot of sex.
Oh, motherfucker does not get sex, ever. Maybe people are interested in him. Like, if you want to do, like, my reading of it, he built the creature for sex, and Henry Clerval was his childhood love interest.
Mm-hmm.
A motherfucker does not have sex. Whether or not Clerval and Elizabeth and Walton were into him, he gets no ass.
Unfortunately, Frankenfurter is gonna do it for me.
And that's two of three.
But here's the thing, if Frankenstein, Victor Frankenstein does it for you, then that's, because this is canonically who you are.
Well, here's the thing, it's not him doing it for me, it's I associate with him. In a sense, like, when I think about him in a sexual context, it's more of like, oh, he occupies my space in, like, a sexual realm. I less want to fuck Victor and more want to be Victor.
I think that's similar to the way that I feel about Henry Jekyll, I'm gonna be honest. Is like, I don't find him outwardly, like, sexy with a capital S. I find his plight kind of very, very sexy.
No, absolutely.
Ooh.
Two for three. Frankenfurter takes it. Oh, and now we're moving right into another hard one for me. God damn it! Back to the east, we've got Herbert West and Heinz Doofenshmirtz.
Suffer, I like it.
Okay, so Herbert West is fully H.P. Lovecraft's take on Frankenstein. We don't have to play around with this. He's just Frankenstein, but Lovecraft. In like any sort of fight or competition, I fully think Herbert West would wipe the floor with Victor. Just generally speaking, like, I really do believe that to be true. I think he's more in it. Victor Frankenstein is my one and only. I think about Herbert West every second of every day. There is something about just Frankenstein, but in the 80s, and more explicitly gay and chaotic, that just, oh my god.
I feel like sometimes Victor Frankenstein Mary Shelley's gets tied up with the Herbert West thoughts, in that he's slightly less chaotic in the books than, like, he's rather just melancholy. Herbert West is if you took the depression of Victor Frankenstein and made it just all mania.
Victor is very, like, makes a chaotic decision and then runs away and can't handle it and won't engage. Herbert West is like, makes a chaotic decision and then friends on the other side starts playing. But then Heinz Doofenshmirtz.
I love him.
He is canonically fucking talented.
I know, he's so underappreciated. Oh my god. He's so talented and so underappreciated. And the thing is, Perry the Platypus is damn good at what he do, but also, like, Heinz Doofenshmirtz is just so important, so fucking funny. I love him. And he's talented. He does whatever he wants. It's all petty. I love the petty vendettas about him.
Obviously, he doesn't peer review it, but he is careful in what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Also, half the things Doofenshmirtz is trying to do aren't that bad, and Perry should just let him, because objectively it would be funny.
Just like, literally let him have his fun. It's just like, I want everybody's nails to grow 2 inches or something like that. And that's like, just let him have this, please.
Who gives a shit?
It's fucking funny. I'm gonna say, as far as basketball, he canonically is not good at sports. Is Herbert West, would Herbert West be good at sports?
Herbert West would not be good at sports, but a motherfucker is quick. The way he moves, like, his physicality is very, like, he's willing to use his whole body for everything. He's not, like, an isolated sort of, like, hands-on person. He is a whole body. When he goes in the catacombs underneath the cemetery, he's using that pipe to pull himself up and swing through it. And when he's comforting Dan, when he's in shock, he's bending his whole body and using his leg.
And I think that Heinz Doofenshmirtz, like, part of his comedy is how he just is tragically incompetent in the physical realm. He's hunched, he's slouched.
He does keep up with Perry in a fight.
That is true. That is true.
But is Perry just like, hey, we're having a nice time and this is how we hang out?
I just think that, like, luck is more on Herbert West's side. He's not just like the tragic fool of the universe in the way that Heinz is.
Heinz Doofenshmirtz consistently fails and gets back up again and keeps going. Herbert West consistently, like, does some fucked up shit, fails, and then a year later is further in his career.
They both fail up, but, like, unfortunately, Herbert West gets through by sheer moxie.
This motherfucker died.
Yep.
And then the next year, he's like, anyway, I have a doctorate, and I'm in Peru. Anyway.
Yep. As far as science goes.
As an inventor, or just, like, literally, like, discoverer, maker of things, Doofenshmirtz is leaps and bounds ahead of Herbert West.
I would say for science, it's hard to discredit how much Doofenshmirtz does, how unappreciated he is in his time. Herbert West can do it. I bet Doofenshmirtz can also do it. He, in like an old episode, does bring somebody back from the dead. Or creates a monster, at least. Not reanimation, but similar. I think that we gotta give it to him, because unfortunately I know he's gonna be bumped out in the fuckability thing. So I just want him to have this.
He, for real, 100% is a better scientist.
And I know this is his death rattle, because for fuckability, unfortunately, Herbert West, I don't have any strong feelings towards Heinz Doofenshmirtz, like I did for Frank and Furter, so he's Audi 5000.
He canonically can get it. He has a daughter, he has an ex-wife. Clearly, he and Perry the Platypus are involved in some way.
Jesus Christ.
They are.
Perry passes the Harkness test, so.
And I'm not necessarily saying sexually, but they have a deep and intimate relationship.
I think that as the ace person in the room, we should examine the relationship that is platonic and yet deeper than one would think of in our normal binary of either platonic or romantic. I think that it exists externally and is special. Ace theory, yada, yada, yada. I think that Doofenshmirtz and Perry the Platypus have a very platonic life partners sort of thing.
Herbert West, canonically, not necessarily sexually, is seductive. The whole first movie is him seducing
Dan.
Away from Meg. Look at this, Dan.
Herbert West can, does, and will fuck.
I feel like I've had that sex.
So Herbert West is gonna win this one. So we've got GLaDOS and Poison Ivy.
This is a very sided argument, I think. Basketball, basketball, basketball.
Yeah, Poison Ivy has hands. She's also got the vines. She is very, very good at what she do.
I will say, however, though, if GLaDOS is there, that means she has to be wired into something, like the court, even if it's just like the electricity of the court. A bitch could just portal, portal, portal baskets.
And that's kind of what Poison Ivy is up against and like turning off and on the lights and everything like that. I think she also kind of likes sports a little bit. I'm going to be honest. She's like a little bit jock.
And GLaDOS definitely knows the rules of basketball, but I can't see her like...
Although, unless she's like surgically positioned, like, now we're going to be playing basketball sort of thing, you know?
I think if Poison Ivy were Chell, she'd be dead.
Oh, it's you.
Oh, another scientist. Let's do this.
She doesn't have a special relationship with Poison Ivy, so I feel like she would be on her way. I think Pamela Isley would probably beat GLaDOS.
Would probably beat Carolyn.
GLaDOS loses basketball. Yep.
Oh my god. GLaDOS wins at science.
GLaDOS wins at science. We're not even gonna fuck around. Don't get me wrong. Pamela Isley is absolutely not to be fucked with. She's an incredible chemist. She's an incredible botanist. You know, as far as can keep plants alive, which, you know, was a recommendation, can keep plants alive. Yep.
GLaDOS can keep plants and human persons and a whole lab.
Yep. Unfortunately, GLaDOS is a damn computer and does science as...
And she also controls, like, a whole facility. Like, her mind, her body is, like, a whole lab. And so, like, it's a little OP, but, you know, she do be able to do that.
Oh, yeah. Her whole damn thing is science. GLaDOS is science. GLaDOS is
science.
Yep, yep, yep. Pamela did go off and have her own life, and GLaDOS is still science. Still alive, still science.
Fuckability. I am not allowed to talk for a minute.
I am also not allowed to talk for a minute, because Poison Ivy can get it, and I know that GLaDOS can also get it. I know that GLaDOS can also get it. I know that she can also get it, but... I know. Poison Ivy is also just... By representation, that goddamn... Listen, Poison Ivy's whole deal, can I say? Poison Ivy's whole deal is she sprays people with something that makes them have to fuck her and then die. She is like the ultimate sex symbol in all of DC in that she is... Like, before she was a character, before she was interesting, she was sexy. You know? Like, that's how the DC did it.
Poison Ivy is... kind of meant to be more sexy and like canonically has more sags, even though GLaDOS is hotter significantly.
Especially, I think that the GLaDOS Chell dynamic is really interesting.
Oh, it's that whole like toxic possessive thing. Your Hannibal Will is.
Yeah, really compelling dynamic, really interesting. I absolutely think that GLaDOS is definitely sexy. That definitely is probably a bit of your brain rot leaking into mine.
I've been poisoning you.
For a year. And I loved Portal, but you poisoned me.
After I flooded the enrichment center with deadly neurotoxin.
Exactly. Yeah, that's slightly poisoned brain rot that's made me be like, oh, is GLaDOS... Oh, interesting.
Is GLaDOS extremely sexy? And the answer is yes.
Yeah, but then also, I'm sorry, but Poison Ivy is just...
Unfortunately, she can play basketball.
Unfortunately, she can play basketball. That's unfortunate. Also, I'm sorry, but I love plants. I just do.
I also think it is a good thing that GLaDOS is matched up with such a sex icon, because I feel like she would wipe the floor with most other people for, like, science. And, like, with a less athletic opponent, she would be able to play basketball.
I know. Again, like, this is like the Entrapta conundrum in that even as far as which of these characters I like more, I think GLaDOS is very cool. I also, similarly with just the Henry Jekyll versus Frankenstein, I'm just like, unfortunately, one of them canonically fucks and one of them is a machine.
And one of them canonically knows how to play basketball.
Damn the basketball.
Yeah, the basketball is throwing this. We should have picked student debate.
All right, back to the West.
We have Henry Wu from Jurassic Park and Dr. Moreau.
I'm gonna say, honestly, Henry Wu. Listen, Dr. Moreau is great, very cool, very sexy, but I like Henry Wu better. I think that he would...
Let's talk basketball first. Are we talking... Okay, there is a difference in Henry Wu's character in the books of Jurassic Park versus the movies versus Jurassic World. And just for fairness, given kind of the prolific quality of Moreau and the fact that racism exists, I think we should just include the whole scope of Dr. Wu just so it's easier. Purely basketball, I think we gotta give it to Moreau. He's definitely a middle-aged dude. He's a fucking fit middle-aged dude. Like, he's ready to go.
I think we gotta give it to Moreau. I agree.
Science. Henry Wu brought dinosaurs back from extinction.
But here's the thing, that was from pre-existing DNA, and Dr. Moreau has
vivisected animals and made them stand on their hind legs. I mean, like, I could do that if I was feeling froggy.
Could ya?
Yeah, you just cut it and you put it back together wrong. I think Dr. Moreau is hindered in the sense that Wells focuses mostly on the monstrosity versus what he's trying to do. Because, like, right, he's trying to turn animals into man. That's his thing. He never is able to do it.
Yeah, true. He's never able to complete his task, and he has just a lot of kind of canonical abomination monstrosities.
And based on canon, seems very happy to just keep making monsters.
Which, I mean, good for discovery, good for science, we like it, but as far as just, like, bio progress, we wanted Henry Wu, I feel like.
Fuckability.
I'm not terribly attracted to Dr. Moreau, I'm gonna be honest. I'm not terribly attracted to Henry Wu either. I feel like both of them are too cis and straight, and they're two just guys. So I'm gonna leave this to your discretion because they're both just dudes to me.
Just visually speaking, Henry Wu is a hotter man. The way he's described, the actor that plays him in the movies, Henry Wu is just a significantly sexier gentleman, physically. Dr. Moreau is a gentleman and has, like, a whole ass island. And is canonically that, like, sexy, oh, please take a seat, enjoy brunch. And I just think that's a little sexier. Like, if I have to see somebody's monster, I'd like to have brunch with it.
Yeah, that's fair. That is very, very fair. Yep.
I think I'm gonna give it to Moreau.
That's fair. That is fair. It's the gent in him. I'm always down for the gent, so I'm not mad at this decision. So before we get into round two, want to break for some of that good money?
Thank you for watching WTRN Sports Center. After these beer advertisements, we'll be back with more Scientist October Madness.
Welcome back to October Madness.
Welcome back to WTRN, the Sports Center.
Welcome back. So you thought round one was going to be feral. Round two, Lord help us all.
Yeah, we only matched up the first duos. Hey, it's free for all time, BB.
Yeah. All right.
And back to the north. In a shockingly well-paired turn of events, we have one Dr. Hannibal Lecter versus Frankenfurter.
Frankenfurter.
Lots of girl boss energy.
Jesus Christ. Both so femme.
All right. Let's go to sports.
All right. Sports.
Basketball.
Basketball. So we decided that Frankenfurter could play basketball better than, like, could do something. But I'm going to be honest. Hannibal Lecter has learned from his past mistakes.
Yeah, he's pretty physical.
He got spanked by Harlene Quinzel and can canonically kill a fool. So I'm going to say...
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, though. Because, again, Frankenfurter, like, I'm always shocked by, like, the agile nature of people in heels.
I, though, am going to say I don't think he's going to be on his A game playing against Hannibal Lecter. I think there's going to be a little bit of distraction there. A little bit of, like, if I dip out early, I can watch him play.
A little bit of ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Yeah,
there'll be a little bit of distraction.
Although, as both people who have cooked others and served them to friends for dinner, they would have a lot to talk about.
They would have, again, unfortunately, we just kept pairing up friends. They would have a lot to talk about. Again, Hannibal.
They would be cool friends. I don't think Hannibal would be as invested.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Hannibal Lecter would be, like, interesting. He would get so tired of Frankenfurter so fast.
It would be very, like, fascinating. Get on the table.
Yep, exactly. So I'm gonna say that Hannibal Lecter would win for science.
Yeah, science, hands down. He actually, like, got a degree and, like, does science. And...
Again, do not get me wrong. Listen, like, Frankenfurter, I feel like we like to discredit his science because it's very femme-coded, very goofy.
Oh, yeah, he made a man.
He made a man!
With blonde hair and a tan.
With blonde hair and a tan. And so he, he's alien, so he's a little bit silly. I think he might have done, actually, listen, I was whole hog into Hannibal. I think that he did science better than Hannibal Lecter. I think it's alien science, but I think it's science nonetheless.
Yeah, he did pilot a spaceship.
He piloted a spaceship. He is, like, respected in his community. So is Hannibal. He is, you know, he made a man. He did new scientific achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Although, like, you know, is psychiatry not seen as a science? Like, come on, people.
It do be a science.
So I'm going to leave this up to you.
He's extremely good at making people work.
Is that good? Is this good?
And he's an accomplished, like, medical doctor as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I will say, if we're talking science as in innovation, Frankenfurter takes it.
Yeah.
I think Frankenfurter takes that.
All right. Frankenfurter takes the science.
Sexiness.
Sexiness. I'm sorry. Hannibal's going to have to.
Hannibal.
Listen, don't. Do not get me wrong. Do not get me wrong. This is close. This is a close thing for me.
It's not close for me.
It's a close thing for me. Because goodness gracious, I just, Tim Curry as Frankenfurter is something else.
Yeah.
But I get it.
It's Hannibal.
Hannibal's a new kind of, listen, Frankenfurter I feel like is like a high school kind of sexy. Hannibal's like what I graduated to.
Yeah, he's graduate sexy.
He's graduate sexy.
All right, so with basketball and sexy.
So with basketball and sexy, so did we decide that Hannibal would win at basketball?
I think he has to. Like,
he's gotta. All right.
Frankenfurter can, like, run him, but as far as, like, game goes,
I think that he would also be, like, again, Frankenfurter built a man who would be strong so that he wouldn't have to be.
Right.
So
Hannibal
I feel like,
is a little
yeah,
built
I feel like,
himself.
I feel like with sports, Frankenfurter would even be like, I don't want to do sports. I want my men to do sports.
Yeah.
All right. Hannibal Lecter's going to win that round.
And we are, oh God, we are into the East Division with Doc Ock and Herbert West.
All right. Doc Ock and Herbert West.
All right. Basketball, she beats his fucking ass.
She beats his ass.
She wipes the floor with him.
Yep.
He died.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, Doc Ock is gonna be dunking so hard that it wounds him.
Unfortunately, she beats the fucking shit out of him.
Yep.
And it's actually not even funny. It's very embarrassing.
It makes him kind of sad. I don't think he's failed in a way that he's seen with Doc Ock.
Like, and she's not nice about it either. Like, she's really cruel about it, and he does cry on the court.
I'm gonna be honest, with this bracket, she's getting hotter by the moment.
I know.
Like, now that GLaDOS is out of the game, like, Doc Ock is, like, specific. Oh, she's a clinical, like, again, like, and I, for one, can't wait to watch.
I think she would love to finance Herbert Webb.
Yep.
Okay, she wins a basketball.
She wins a basketball.
Science. Mm-hmm. So, Doc Ock, I think this is a similar, like, Doofenshmirtz debate, mm-hmm. where, like, her, like, innovations are leaps and bounds, like, broader than Herbert's, and, like, technically more advanced. I will, though, say she has the backing of other people and funding and facility, mm-hmm. and he's just kind of like, oh, I have a mini fridge and a dream.
Yep.
And when it comes to that, I wonder if given the same access and like unchecked what would happen.
This one's a toughie. They just do such different kinds of science. Yeah.
I think also in this, we can't just be like Ox, like whole like villain thing. Like Herbert West reanimated an army of the dead. Like,
of course.
He did that. Like the thing is though, she's just like, she's got so much accolade.
She's got she's just like the walking through the hallway being like, no, this is good. I know, but dimensional portals, and she built the arms herself.
She did, and that's sexy.
Yeah, that's something.
Pretty cool, pretty hot. Everyone loves it. Mm-hmm. Literally the only thing I'm torn on is like is that just a benefit?
I know,
like,
of the money. I know, because Herbert West really did like a lot with what little he had. Like,
he doesn't have anything. He was born in Canada, yep. which already you're starting
right
downhill.
Fuck Canada, right?
Fuck Canada. Like, he didn't do work there.
Yeah. I know. Like, he pulled his science out of nowhere. Couldn't function without Dan.
Yeah. Well, he did all of it before Dan. And then, like, found Dan and was like, oh, fucking finally, someone who can, like, who can lift corpses.
That's true.
Whereas, like, Olivia Octavius is a CEO.
I know, though, but that's just...
Unfortunately, she's a sexy capitalist.
She's a CEO.
And what she lacks in top hat, she makes up for in hair.
I know. She just is so, like, clinical. There's just something. I don't know. Again, this was, like, a new thing that is intensified by this bracket specifically.
It's how capable she is.
I know!
I think, okay, this is what it's gotta come down. It's gotta come down to the tragedy thing. Switch them in each other's stories. Mm-hmm. How well do they fare?
Damn well, both of them.
Pop Herbert in as CEO of Alchemax. Mm-hmm. And pop her in as having just completed, like, the experiment with Gruber, mm-hmm. and coming to Arkham.
Yeah.
I don't think Herbert's making the arms, but I do think he's killing Spider-Man.
Oh, I think he's absolutely killing Spider-Man.
That's the thing, is I don't think he would pull out all of her, like, what makes her cool, mm-hmm. but I think he would just succeed in murdering Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. He'd kill Spider-Man. I don't know if he could run a company, I'm gonna be honest. I think that he would.
Well, he needs Dan.
Yeah, he needs Dan for that part.
He would find some himbo.
He would be like, again, resident head of
R&D.
Yeah, exactly.
But then I think Olivia Octavius, she goes to Arkham, Massachusetts, and she moves in with Meg Halsey.
Oh my god, yeah.
She says, that's a nice spare room you have, Dan. I'm going to move in with your girlfriend and also take your girlfriend.
And also steal your girl.
I don't think she would do the things Herbert does.
I don't know. I think that, like, there's plenty of stories with the person and a dream. Like, she would just... I feel like she would turn into a lot more of a Frankenstein character.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't think she would kind of stoop to what he does. Mm-hmm. Like, I think she would, like, have seen what happened with Dr. Gruber and then just be like, moving on, we can do better than that. Like, I think it would just be like, it would be pumping reagent into Miskatonic's water supply and doing it on a mass scale of what happens if you give someone reagent before they die and then after they die. Like, it would be like she would escalate Herbert. So I think, honestly, I think tragedy-wise, they would be both more successful than each other in each other's stories.
Yeah. Fuck! I don't want Herbert to go out this way!
I think he would work well with her. I think they would work well together. I think they are a match made in heaven as far as, like...
I know! I think they're unfortunately really good.
I always thought I might be bad.
Somebody take note and write this fanfic.
It's me. I'll do it.
But I
they're
think...
They're really evenly matched,
even though,
actually.
Again, I like Herbert West, but I think that Doc Ock's gonna have to take this one.
Yeah, I think she's more accomplished. Like, Herbert West, I think because he is, like, a Lovecraft and 80s movie villain, like, quote-unquote villain, he gets classified as a villain, he's not actually.
Right.
But because of the nature of that, he, even though he can't fucking die, he's a little more like he does his thing and goes away.
Yeah.
Whereas Doc Ock is forever.
Prolific.
Doc Ock is never gonna die, and Doc Ock is never gonna stop.
She's also, like, again, this is her in the Spider-Verse. Doc Ock exists throughout canon, too.
I would say, though, Doc Ock regular, like, specifically comics Doc Ock,
mm-hmm.
Herbert West would beat the shit out of.
This is Doc Ock, Dr. Olivia Octavia.
Which is different, yeah. I'm biased because I am looking at a picture of Doc Ock.
I know. Look
Let
at the
me
picture of,
also
look at
pull up on the side a picture of Herbert West.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I looked at his face and I immediately shifted. I think Herbert West has a different type of, like, energy when it comes to what he does,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that I think Doc Ock, while she is technically more accomplished and probably a little bit better at what she does, I think she is willing to fail and regroup in a way that Herbert is like, no, I'm gonna do it.
See, I'm looking at a picture of Herbert West right now, and also Doc Ock, and
I'm looking at them both,
and
I'm looking at them both right now.
And unfortunately for me, this might just be, like, Doc Ock. I think she's too damn capable.
They also have exactly the same smile lines around their mouth.
I'm sorry,
I want to be Herbert West and be with Doc Ock.
I know, I don't want
You know the right answer.
You
just know I can't do it.
I know, I gotta say
You have
Doc
to
Ock.
Just do it, yeah.
I'm so sorry, I gotta say Doc Ock.
Damn, yeah.
I genuinely didn't think she would get this far, but, like...
I want it known that I think Herbert West could take this whole bracket, but I think I love women.
I also, like, again, I feel like there are plenty of characters that I'm just like, oh no, I think they could spank this whole thing. But if we're being impartial,
if we're obeying the laws.
I also, listen, there's also, like, a part of me, I think this is, like, similar to the Entrapta thing, in that you just rarely see femme-coded,
mm-hmm.
or feminine scientists,
yeah.
in this flavor. Like, I don't want to be like, I don't think that Herbert West's and Dr. Frankenstein's and Dr. Jekyll's and all of these things, they're not a dime a dozen because they're specific and special to me. But
mm-hmm.
just like Olivia Octavius and Entrapta are two, you never see these characters. So
never.
I feel like there's also something special about seeing these characters that for me specifically, I'm like,
mm-hmm.
there's just something specific about this.
The one thing I will say, though, is that whenever I think about Doc Ock, I'm like, oh boy. Oh, fuck. Oh, yes, Doc. That's all I can think about.
Mm-hmm.
But I only think about her when she's brought up.
I know.
About Herbert West literally every day.
I know. I know.
And you get texted. Stop sending me pictures of Doc Ock!
I can't. I won't. I won't do it. I won't stop. That's the thing. Again, like, I 100% do not think about Doc Ock at all. Like, she's not a character that resonates with me in the same way that, like, Stanford Pines does.
Yeah.
But now that I'm seeing her, I'm like, damn. Alright, let's move on. We spent
all right,
too much time on this one.
Okay. Poison Ivy and Frankenstein. Basketball? Frankenstein just dunks and dunks and dunks.
Oh, Poison Ivy and Frankenstein. Oh, yeah. Frankenstein dunks. Absolutely.
I know she's got the vines and stuff. This man is so tall.
He's just too physically excellent. The thing is,
yeah.
like, his whole science is physicality science. Like, that's all
yeah.
he does. If he can beat Medusa...
It's body yaddy yaddy.
It's body yaddy 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 yaddy. Unfortunately, listen, I love Poison Ivy. Frankenstein is, like, a physical scientist.
Yeah.
And
he,
she's just
he
too
dunks
aloof
on her.
To care. You know, she's a lot slower.
She would be over it.
Yeah, she'd be like, whatever, that's fine. I've got bigger fish to fry. And the thing is, she grows slow vines. Like, she can do a lot, but she grows at the rate of a fast plant. He's just too damn quick.
He beats her at basketball. Yeah. Science.
I'm gonna say that specifically, I just think that Pamela Isley is a better scientist. I'm also saying this because I know that fuckability, unfortunately, is gonna go to Stein.
It is. But I do agree. I think she's a better, just like straight up and down scientist.
Yeah.
Like, he's a fuck around and find out herb.
Yeah. and don't get me wrong, she is too, but she just was so good at what she did. She was just like a scientist so hard that she decided to not be scientist anymore.
Yeah.
Again, he's just a physical scientist. He'll win in fuckability and he'll win in basketball, and he's going to win in this one.
Fucks, and he fucks hard.
I know.
That was a quick battle.
Hey, Diggs, you did put Herbert West next in the bracket.
Oh, listen, I told you, I think about Herbert West all the time.
That's called a Freudian slip right there.
It is. It's called, I am, the only thing in my life is Herbert West.
I know.
Also, that wasn't even a copy paste. I fully typed out Herbert West and was like, yeah.
Yeah, he's the one.
Do you know how many times a day I type Herbert West?
A lot, I assume.
Either in texts or in an image search or on tumblr.com or archive of our own or just...
Nope, I... Yep, I know. He's your special little lad.
He's my special little boy, and Autumn's gonna do the double feature with me this weekend.
Kill your darlings. Again, I don't know...
No, he's out.
I don't know why you haven't had a science fiction double feature with Rocky Horror, and...
I'm not trying to fuck my friend.
So the next one...
Hey, Annalie, you want to come do a double...
So the next one is going to be Dr. Moreau and Stanford Pines.
What a match em up.
What okay, a pairing.
First and foremost, all of Dr. Moreau's, like, street cred goes out the fucking window. Because Stanford Pines has seen weirder.
I know. I'm going to be honest. I think he sweeps the board. I think Stanford Pines sweeps the board against Dr. Moreau.
He's sexier. He's done sexier. More real science.
Yep.
And I don't think he necessarily is good at basketball,
no.
But I think he's better at basketball than Dr. Moreau.
He's got like a gruff side. Again, I saw him like spiral down that.
Also, chances are Stanley made him play basketball at some point.
Oh yeah. He also feels more just like a dude who grew up like with a brother.
Yeah.
And Dr. Moreau feels like he was born fancy.
Some sort of dandy lad.
Yeah, some sort of dandy lad.
I'm also just desperately avoiding a Moreau versus Hannibal.
I can't have this happen.
No, but Stanford Pines cleans up.
He wouldn't clean up against everybody, but he does clean up against Dr. Moreau.
Against Moreau. Like, straight up and down, even I think if he was paired with, like, Henry Wu, like, I think that would be a little more, like, uh-oh.
Yeah, right.
Because Henry Wu, I think, is more of a person.
Yeah.
Like, he is engaged with the real world. He probably did high school sports.
Yeah,
and, invented a dinosaur.
Yeah.
But he's not as hot.
Right.
But anyway, Stanford Pines wins.
Yep.
And we are down to Final Four.
All right. Shit.
Hannibal Lecter, Stanford Pines. Can I just say, Paris is lovely this time of year.
I can't.
You won't start?
I know where I'm going.
I know where you're going. All right, I will talk it through. As far as basketball goes, I think the same thing stands as with Moreau.
Mm-hmm.
Of Stanford Pines is a guy with a brother who is a little more athletic and does things. And while I think Hannibal could keep pace, like, endurance-wise, just as far as, like, stamina and, like, physicality and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I think as far as, like, actual straight up and down basketball goes,
Stanford Pines
yep, takes it.
I agree.
Science.
I also think that Stanford Pines is more of a scientist.
Pines is way more of a scientist.
He's just a meticulous journaler.
He is.
Just keeps the field notes. He's just...
And it is all replicable.
Yeah.
Because even his untrained brother,
mm-hmm.
right, who he's not incapable by any means, Stanley
mm-hmm.
Pines.
Mm-hmm.
He just, you know, obviously wasn't trained in the same things that Stanford was. He was able to study his notes and replicate the portal.
Yep.
That's good science.
Yeah. And I feel like Hannibal, even though he is really good at all all that he does. He's just a well-rounded person and more of that, like, Professor Stein from Soul Eater, like, fuck around and find out sometimes. And I don't think that makes for the best science.
No. However, he is so much hotter.
I know!
Oh my god.
It pains me because he just blows away. There's just something I'm really upset about.
The thing is I don't even know if the two of three wins are out here just because of just the sheer, like,
it's just something.
I'm, like, physically out of breath right now.
I know. It makes me upset. Wow, we're really just telling all of our listeners exactly what we're about, unfortunately. I forgot that they were even listening. Hey, how are you doing? Just checking in.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. How are you? Anyway, back to this.
I don't know. In the sense of fairness, we should have our answer just based on, like, other ones.
I know. We can't let our judgment be clouded.
Because then Herbert West would have won. Like, we have.
I know.
What the fuck?
I know.
No!
I know.
Stamford Pines.
Stamford Pines is gonna have to win. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Hey, he's a little bit sexy. Don't get me wrong. Listen.
Oh, he's hot.
Unfortunately,
Stanford takes it. Okay, and to our Southeastern division, we have Doc Ock and Frankenstein. First and foremost will say, if ever there was going to be a matchup, Frankenstein has the experience.
He has the actual experience of fighting
this villain.
Yep, we saw how he dealt with somebody very similar. We've got the vector arrows are very similar to Doc Ock. The fucking demeanor is similar to Doc Ock.
Oh my god.
And Stein won, so I'm gonna say
basketball, he wins. Basketball, I'm sorry, he wins. He knows how to play that game. Yeah. He knows what she's about. Yeah, he wins at basketball.
He wins at basketball.
She wins at science.
She wins at science.
She wins at science.
She's clearly a scientist. She's clearly a scientist.
I'm standing in my desk chair right now.
Yep.
Now, I think right now we're both feeling a lot of things about Dr. Olivia Octavius.
I know.
And we both have a lot of feelings about Doc Ock. I think Stein occupies a more deep-seated and, like, always return to spot.
Unfortunately, like, if you were to match pretty much anybody in this roster up against Stein as far as, like, sexiness, unfortunately he wins out. There's just something, like, even if you were to match him up with Hannibal Lecter, I think, like, even then, and
in, like, a sexy
then,
even then it's, like, a different type,
and unfortunately Stein takes Stein the cake wins.
I'm thinking about his laugh right now. I'm gonna insert it in post.
I just don't want to talk about how, like, deliberately I've sought out Chuck Hubbard as a voice actor to hear him speak again. I just can't, like, I can't.
And I think a little bit of it, specifically in this matchup, is we know exactly what Stein is like in this matchup because of how similar Doc Ock is to Medusa.
So
I think part of his sexiness in this comes from the matchup itself.
I think
it's, like, really, we know what this fight would look like, and hot fucking damn.
Look,
I'm also extremely into Medusa. I am never looking at her in those fights.
I know. Real quick, and I just do wanna slot this in. If we're not doing Stanford Pines possessed by Bill Cipher, then we can't do Frankenstein with spirit.
With spirit. Yeah, no, it has to just be, like, guy versus guy.
And you know what? I'm gonna be honest. Without spirit, he would have lost that fight, and I will stand by that.
Yes. Yeah, no, 100%. The fight with Medusa, no way.
Yep.
No way.
Yep.
But then, to be fair, she's a witch.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
Right. And
this
so
is,
like that.
This is not to belittle his ability. This is to
no.
To
oh God.
Emphasize spirits.
Yeah.
A
Meister needs his weapon.
Yeah.
And like while he's able to fucking handle his own without a weapon, like 100%. Like.
Oh yeah.
Good God, he's fucking got it. In a fight versus Doc Ock or a fight versus Medusa, I think you have to include that. And I think that is also like if you're gonna include Doc Ock's like tentacles and shit, you have to include spirit. You know what I mean? Like, in the sense that, like, right, her versus Herbert West is Herbert at his most powerful, but we don't include Dan in that. Like, that's not part of the bit. And we don't include his army of the undead, because it's not a beat-down fight. It's a, you know, basketball game.
Yep.
All right, and so we end up with two middle-aged, gray hair,
Jesus
anime men.
Christ, I hate us so much.
We have interests.
We really shit the bed on this one. Oh my God, we scored pooch.
Damn it. Okay.
How did we end up here?
All right. Basketball. I just want to real quick Google, how tall is Frankenstein? Will you quick Google Stanford's height? Okay. How tall is Stanford? Since his car is based off the 1965 Cadillac DeVille convertible, and that car is approximately 4'7", Sans seems to be about a foot taller than his car, give or take. That would put him from 5'7 to 5'11.
Okay.
That's from Estimated For You on Reddit in r/GravityFalls. That seems about as fair as one can get.
Right.
So let's put him at the top of the bracket, right? Let's say he's 5'11.
Right.
Dr. Stein is 6'10".
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. This man is massive. He's too damn tall.
He's also just not even the fucking tallest character in the show, which is very fucking funny.
Damn it. Am I gonna have to look up a picture of Frankenstein?
Yeah, you are. Please, real quick, look at Stein from Soul Eater. Basketball, I think Stein takes him. I think he's a little more athletic, and I think he's just simply fucking tall as hell.
I'll have you know through this whole...
What? What'd you say?
I couldn't say anything. I'll have you know through this whole thing, I haven't looked up one picture of Stein from Soul
Neither yet. Am I. Neither am I.
And now that I have.
I'm like looking at a screen full of him right now. In basketball, I think Stein wins.
Right, yeah.
In science, Stanford
wipes
owns his bitch ass.
Floor with him. He is, honestly, Stanford Pines is a goddamn good ass scientist.
He's literally only on this chart comparable to like Doc Ock and GLaDOS.
I know.
Like,
I know.
He does the goddamn thing. Like, no, Hannibal, no.
No. Yep.
Like,
Harleen,
no.
Fuck no.
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 No. Doofenshmirtz, I think they would have a lot to talk about, but as far as like success
scientist.
And follow through, like,
yeah, Stanford is ridiculously impressive as far as science goes. Like, he
insanely.
He is just, like, the fact that he's a field journalist and he is not only discovering but living his science experiments actively. There is little to no competition anywhere else.
Yeah, like, we're putting him up against the entirety of Aperture Labs.
Exactly.
Like,
yep.
Beats ass.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just as far as just and again, it cannot be hammered home enough. It is replicable and it is teachable. And like, that's like really the important thing.
Yep. Yep.
What if we're talking about sex appeal?
I can't handle this. I can't handle this man. unfortunately, Frankenstein is just.
He's just raw hot. He's
like, unlike almost any character ever. Just something
else. This is a side note. I can temper your lust for Frankenstein right now because I did just find photos from my first ever con.
Jesus Christ.
I am approximately 14 years old in this image.
Jesus Christ.
I just sent it to you.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Never mind. All right. Stanford Pines is going to win this one. I hate that there have ever been fans of Frankenstein.
I'm also being a real good friend right here and not sending photos of Taylor as Soul. I'm only exposing myself and these two people we don't know in this moment.
Of course, of course. So maybe put that, maybe put that shit away, please. Thank
this,
you.
This is, I'll post it on the Instagram.
Yeah, one day I will cosplay Stein from Soul Eater.
Yeah, you will. Yeah, see, here's the thing is I'm gonna get Abigail one day to cosplay Medusa while I cosplay Stein, but while you cosplay Stein, I will cosplay Medusa.
Cosplay Spirit.
Oh, I could do Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking about all of their talks are exactly what we do, where she's like, ahaha, flirt, 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 sex, sex, sex. And he's like, so anyway. I'm very invested, but not interested in whatever the fuck you just said.
I love this man so much, and I'm so sweaty right now, and I can't.
I am too. We need to stop fucking around.
Stop fucking around.
And the winner of October Madness, the scientist bracket, the feral scientist who we want to fuck so very badly bracket, is Frankenstein from Soul Eater.
I'm sorry.
Give it up.
Give it up for anime. I'm so sorry that there were so many more popular characters on this list, and we chose the most niche character.
We have brain rot.
Lasting, like, Jesus Christ, I guess maybe a little bit under a decade of brain rot, unfortunately.
This brain rot is older than our friendship.
I know.
That's disgusting.
We became friends after we decided, like, almost a decade ago that that Frankenstein would win whatever science bracket we had. There's something ancient about this. So, if anybody hasn't watched Soul Eater or isn't into anime, we're so sorry, but unfortunately...
This is also us saying trust the anime process with Soul Eater. Like, you're gonna have to give it a second. Because first of all, it takes a couple episodes for him to even show up.
Yep.
And then it takes a little longer for him to, like, be relevant.
I know.
But when he is.
Also, when I first watched it, my first, like, episode, I was just like, this is stupid, but I guess I'm in for the ride. And you know what?
Yeah.
And it changed my life. Maybe I shouldn't have been, but you know what? Here we are. Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
I also think that, like, unfortunately, Frankenstein, we don't have the exact same taste in unethical scientists.
No, we have different tastes in unethical science.
We have a similar taste in unethical science, but unfortunately, Frankenstein does hit that Venn diagram between both of our specific tastes in unethical science.
He's just everything.
He's just something else. He is just something else. It's the mix of, like, the feral and the clinical and the...
And the calm.
The calm. See, for me, it's the calm.
But then the breaking point. I think it's also the joyful.
Of course.
He's a very joyful character.
Yeah.
He is very comparable. And welcome to 2010. He's very comparable to what's appealing about the Doctor from Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Of he's off the wall, he's deeply sad, he's deeply traumatized, but he is always joyful.
Yeah.
And he's always, like, looking out for other people.
Yeah, when he's...
While also ruining them.
Right, while he's in his... Especially while his, like, head is all together, while his screw's in tight, he really does try and help those kids.
He loves those kids. He loves those fucking kids so much.
Again, sorry again. Like, listen, we could have fucking chosen Frankenfurter. We could have chosen fucking Victor Frankenstein.
Dr. Jekyll, yeah.
We could have chosen fucking Poison Ivy, Dr. Octopus. Like,
we could have had a whole different bracket of scientists where we included Rick Sanchez and Newton from fucking Pacific Rim.
Right, exactly.
Like, we could have included different shit here. I could have talked about Herman Carter from Dead by Daylight, which no one would have wanted.
Right, right. I could have talked about Ginkgo from fucking Mushi forever, and we didn't. So we're sorry for whatever you just listened to, but listen, did you have a good time?
Did you have fun?
Because
do you feel in the Halloween spirit?
Because we did.
Spirit?
Oh, God. So this was the most exposing thing I've ever done and will ever do again.
We've been recording for 2 hours.
Yeah, whatever, however long this ends up being, we've been recording for damn long, and here's here's the issue. I hope you enjoyed seeing this inside of my soul. I'm gonna compartmentalize like goddamn Henry Jekyll, and you will never see this amount of vulnerability again. So have fun.
I'm gonna put it on full blast like Victor Frankenstein.
Jesus Christ.
Fortunately for you all, I'm editing this one.
Jesus Christ.
And so Annalie's crimes will be broadcast.
Jesus Christ! Oh, do you trust me?
Thank you so much. Have you thought about killing me?
Do you trust me? Do you love me? Here's the thing. So thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Genre Blind Minisode.
Mini, quote unquote.
Minisode, maxisode.
This is a minisode in the sense that Dr. Stein is a scientist.
Jesus Christ.
In that he won and this episode got published. If you want more of this.
Jesus Christ.
You're shit out of luck. But if you want to hear other stuff, you can subscribe to our podcast and follow us at Genre Blind Podcast on Instagram at AnnieDTR and Momentum Wart Safe on both Instagram and TikTok, and you can always email us at genreblindpodcast@gmail.com. If you have another bracket suggestion, let us know.
Too fucking bad. We'll never fucking do this again.
No, we'll do a bracket again. We won't be as invested. If you're mad that we didn't include your favorite scientist, fuck off.
Listen, a lot of people didn't make the cut. If anybody says Rick Sanchez to me, I will dig
a
hole.
Hey, we don't want to fuck him.
He's too goddamn old. Listen, we know he canonically fucks, just not us. Anyway.
Send me your good Carlos the Scientist fan arts, though. I do.
Yeah, we're sorry that Carlos.
Love him in a deeply sexual way.
We're sorry that Carlos couldn't make the cut.
I have very intimate feelings about Carlos for Welcome to Nightmare.
If anybody out there has seen Mushi and gives a shit about Ginkgo, DM me personally, because nobody, including my good friend Diggs, knows about this anime. Jesus Christ.
You've been telling me about it since we've been friends, and I have not watched it.
Yep. One day.
Yeah, I will watch it.
Well, and...
Do you have any closing statements, or are we just gonna stay looking at this man?
No, I'm just gonna keep looking at this guy.
Can I send you my favorite fan art of this man?
You have to.
It's exactly the one you think
Jesus
it is.
Christ.
Listeners, you'll never know.
You'll never
Goodbye.
Know. Bye.
But still, I have to admit, destroying you was refreshing.
Let's see it.